Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Resonance. Everybody, this is awesome stuff, right? That was great. My name is Brad Hornback, for those of you that don't know. I am the young adults pastor here, and we meet on Monday nights. Anybody out there that's a young adult, 18 to 29, right? We meet Monday nights. Let's go. I hear some in the back, right? We meet Monday nights, and it's great. It's an awesome community. Obviously, I don't fit in that age group, but they let me hang around because they're that cool. Tonight, we're going to be in John chapter 8. We're going to be in John chapter 8. That's going to be our anchor text tonight. But we're also going to look at Mark 10. So if you want to put a little, in your Bibles, put a little piece of paper or something over in Mark 10, that would be great. So like I said, I'm the college pastor here. I think even though I'm a little older, it's an energy thing, I think, on why I was invited to be in that position. I'm kind of hyper sometimes. I get a little excited. So if I do that tonight, just hang in there with me because we'll make it to the end and hopefully I'll calm down and we'll all be good. But we're going to be in John chapter 8, verse 31 is where we're going to kick off. And we're really just going to jump into it if that's cool with you guys. Is that cool? All right. Amen. All right. So let's take a look at this. So John chapter 8, verse 31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this piece of scripture, Lord. This word that you've given us, Lord, that is so just amazing. It's challenging a little bit, Lord, and we're going to look at that, but it's also just, it's freeing, Lord, as you say. It's something that just offers us that peace and that calm, Lord. So thank you for it. Just be a part of this time right now, Lord. Amen. So as we look at this, I kind of want to step back for a second. In chapter 8, what Jesus has been doing up until this point is he's been talking about who he is and what he's come to do. And when we look at this part right here, the verse right before we started reading actually says this. It says, as he spoke these words, what he was coming to do, what he was about, who he was, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Many believed in him. Here's the thing. Many believe in him. But are they all in? Are they all in? Or do they just have, like, "I believe in you"? We're all, listen, all of you showing up tonight, maybe not, but at least most of you showing up tonight, you have a belief in Jesus Christ. The question is, how much belief? And you might question that. What do you mean by that, Brad? I mean, are you all in? Do you allow Jesus to saturate every single pore of your body, every part of your life? Or do you put him in compartments? Or is it, he's only can be in this area, but he can't be in that area? I'll be honest with you. This message, as I was putting it together, I was like, oh Lord, this is for me. Like, you're speaking to me because I'm guilty of this. So make sure when I'm speaking these words, one is it's God's words. It's his message. But he's speaking to my heart just as much as hopefully he's speaking to yours. So as we look at this, these varying levels, you know, I would say this. Most of you would probably say, you know, if I asked you, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? You'd probably say yes. But if I ask you, what does that mean? What does that look like as you walk out your life, as you take the steps throughout your day? What does it look like? I'm going to get varying answers. I'm going to get varying statements. The question is, were they all in? And the question is, are we all in? So as we're looking at this, verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Remember, verse 30, many believed, right? So these words, he's speaking to believers again. I want to make sure that we understand that. They're believers that he's addressing, but again, they're like yet to fully believe. Okay? And I know that's a weird thing to think about, but I want you to think about that, right? Areas where basically they weren't allowing Jesus into their lives. Areas where we might not be allowing Jesus into our lives. You know, they were inclined to think, you know, what he said was true. They just stood there and listened, and it said they believed. But he clarifies, right? You have to abide in my word. Abide in my word. They're not prepared yet to fully yield their lives to Jesus Christ. Think about that for yourself. Are you fully and wholly ready to yield your life to Jesus Christ? Completely. A real, true, far-reaching allegiance, a trust. You know, I tell our young adults that we wear jerseys, and they're Jesus jerseys. And these jerseys aren't meant for us to sit in the stands as a fan and just clap along for the team like, yay. No, God wants us in the game playing. He gives you the jersey to play the game. Are we doing that? Are we allowing that to happen? Are we sitting up in the seats way up high where we're like, I think that's Jesus down there. I think that's who I'm seeing. Or is he right there because we're on the court with him? We're in the field with him. We're on the ice with him. Listen, this idea of being kind of a lukewarm, I'll refer to it, right? We're told what that does or what happens in Revelation, right? Spit out, lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold, but I believe. But you're not hot or cold, but I believe. Do you fully, fully believe? I mentioned to you to hold the space in Mark 10. If you have it, or if you haven't yet, jump over to Mark 10, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 22. And many of you are familiar with this portion of scripture. This is the rich young ruler. And I think this is a good example, a biblical example of really what we're looking at here, or this idea, because I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe what God has shown to me is that this rich young ruler, he did believe, but was he all in? I think he did believe, but was he willing to sacrifice everything else? Was he willing to allow Jesus to saturate every part of his being? So let's take a look at this. Mark 10, verse 17, it says, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him." I want to pause for a second. Notice that. Running and knelt before him. Running, chasing, and knelt before him. Understands Jesus. Understands who Jesus is here. And he says this, he asks him, he says, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Verse 18, "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God.'" So this young man runs to him, kneels before him, right? Calls him good. And he's like, "How do I inherit eternal life? How do I get all in? Because I want to go where you're going. I believe what I'm hearing." And here's the thing. Jesus wants to speak to him here. And Jesus says to him in verse 19, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And here's the thing. Jesus keeps it simple here. He mentions things from the law that I would say the majority of us here tonight would be like, "Okay, yeah, I know that. I'm okay, I'm good with that." And this rich young ruler is like, yeah, I know that too. I'm good on that. Hey, I can maybe check these things off. And so in verse 20, he says, he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." I'm good, check. Right? If I ask you guys out there, I start naming these things. For the most part, you're going to say, yeah, check, right? Even if it's some things, maybe we did some of those, but we've given our life to Jesus. We're made clean, right? Those things, it's gone. It's far back in the past, done, away, right? Check. My works look good. But check this out in verse 21. "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack.'" He's like, "One thing you lack." He's basically saying, "You're rich. You have a lot, right? You have all these things. You follow the law. I just named some of them. And you're like, you're good. But he says, 'Go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me.' And he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." We go back to the beginning of this passage, and it looks, this guy believes. He's chasing after him. He's like, that's the one. He knows how to get eternal life. He knows what it's about. I believe that. But in the end, he walks away sorrowful because of things, because of items, possessions. Jesus basically says this to him. It really, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't even have to deal with the things. It doesn't have to deal with how much stuff he's accumulated, how much money he has. What it has to deal with is his heart. Jesus wants his whole heart. He wants all of his heart. And he's like, Jesus is like, put me first. Put me up front. All other things need to be pushed to the side. I should be at the top, right? I am the most important. And I want to back up. Again, it's not wrong to have things. It's not wrong to have hobbies that you enjoy. It's not wrong to maybe be around certain people. Here, this one's going to be controversial. It's not wrong to serve in church. But here's the deal. If any of those things start taking the place of Jesus, they start going to the top of your heart for Jesus, then it's wrong. It's wrong. They should all be in their proper place. The heart behind serving, right? That's what Jesus wants. What are you doing with the things that you've been given in this world, right? Are you using them to bless the Lord? Are you using them to glorify him? Are you using them to reach other people? Or is it just about you and how many things you could collect and gather, right? So it's not wrong to have these things the rich young ruler had, but in this case, Jesus is testing his heart and he's sorrowful and he just leaves. This is very sad, right? Jesus just wants him to put him first, put me on top, right? Fully and holy. Right? I like to play with the word holy, right? And I probably don't even say it right, but it's like holy, like Bible, church holy, right? And then it's like complete, all of holy, right? Those go like holy, give your life in a holy manner, right? Loving the Lord, right? This is the way that God intended it. And if you want to have that deeper, intimate relationship, the deeper blessing of Jesus Christ in your life, then be willing to put him first and everything else after. I loved it, and I shouldn't do side notes because then I get off on my notes, and I know my wife's probably like, oh, here he goes. But tonight, it was interesting because with Pastor Jeff, I forget who it was. I think it might have been Pedro. I don't remember. Somebody said to him, like, basically about, oh, is your wife more important? And he almost, like, answered yes when we're saying he's like, no, God is, of course, right? Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Good answer, right? But that's tricky, right? You're like, man, I'm supposed to love my wife, right? I'm told in Scripture, but not before God. But if I love God, I'm going to love my wife, right? It goes together, right? And it shows my love for the Lord if I'm loving my wife the way I'm called to love my wife. Here's the thing. I talked about compartments, right? Does Jesus only belong in compartments of your life? Does Jesus only belong in if your life, it's a house, you see it as a house. Is there only certain rooms that Jesus can go in, right? Is it like, hey, in the kitchen, you know what? I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm going to drink what I want to drink. I'm going to drink as much as what I want to drink. I'm going to eat as much as what I want to eat. And it's no business of Jesus's to be in the kitchen. Is that my thought? Or is it the bedroom? Is it the sexuality thing? Is it what I'm bringing into the bedroom or what was happening in there? Is that like, well, Jesus, you stay out of the bedroom, right? What about the living room? What I'm watching? Who I'm bringing in, welcoming into my living room? People that I'm fellowshipping with, are they believers? Do I section it off to where Jesus, well, you can have these rooms, but you can't have that one. Is that what I'm doing? Am I putting them in compartments? Because here's the thing, going back to this, right? To be made free, I need to be in him, right? I need to be saturated with Jesus. Every single room in my house, every single room, not keeping a part away from him. He should be able to influence everything that I do, right? Everything that I do. I should be aligning, right? My decisions. I should be aligning, my conversations. I should be aligning every aspect of my life based on the word of God. And do I do that? Am I one of these believers who won't fully commit and believe? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But do I fully believe in Jesus? Abide. Look at this word abide, right? Basically, he says, abide in my word and my disciples. You know, we're basically dwelling with him, right? Again, that whole full aspect, right? And if you do this, you're going to be shown the truth, right? You're going to be shown the truth revealed to you as a full hearted believer. And I'll tell you this, there's been many times in my life where I've swayed, right? Some of you know this, some of you don't know this, right? I was raised in the church. I was taught scripture. I had good parents. I had all that stuff. And there were some circumstances in our family that took place my junior high years, and I went adrift. If you would ask me any time through junior high or high school, do you believe in Jesus Christ? I would have said yes. But you know what? My wife and I met. We weren't married yet. We had our first daughter. That's not living in Jesus necessarily, right? The thing is through that, right, God will use things for good. God will turn. And God used that little baby girl to change my heart, to get me to dive fully in, to say, you know what, Jesus, I need you. I can't do this on my own. It's not about me, right? And so when we look at this idea of abiding, I want to just tell you this. Start simple, right? How do I abide, Brad? What do I do? How do I apply this, right? And some of you are way beyond this. But if you're not, start with reading one verse a day and think about it. Dwell on it. Write it down. Take it with you. I used to write verses of the day, I used to write the word right here on my wrist. Just one of the words from that piece of scripture. So I would see it throughout the day and it would bring remembrance to my mind. So maybe you start with one verse. Maybe it's a chapter a day, right? Maybe you have a Bible app. Maybe you have a reading partner to help in accountability so that you are getting into the reading. Maybe we're turning on the radio to worship music. Maybe we're pulling up Spotify, right? Or Pandora, and we're putting on worship music or sermons. You can find all that stuff out there on Spotify and Pandora today, right? Go find those sermons and let it saturate you, right? Just so that's what you're hearing. So you're not going astray. You're not getting off track. Here's another silly thing here. I'll give you a practical thing, right? If you get a text from me and it has emojis in it, you're always going to get three. Every single time, you're going to get three of the same thing. Because every time I send a text with emojis and I hit that 1, 2, 3, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it reminds me every single time. Find little things like that because this world wants to pull your brain away and not have you abide in Jesus. It wants you to abide in this, right? Or your own flesh. Abide in Jesus. Find ways to saturate your life. Find ways to make your decisions in life easier because he's always at the forefront of your mind. You know, there were little wristbands. Anybody remember the WWJD wristbands, right? And the hats and shirts and all kinds of stuff, right? Here's the thing. During part of that time, it was sort of a joke. It's sort of a joke today, to be honest with you. My family will say, you still say this, but it's a joke now. When I was younger, I meant it. And it was literally this. Things would be happening. I'd be like, I'm Brad Hornback. I do what I want. And you know where that got me? Nowhere. Not very good places. It wasn't good. It got me in a lot of trouble. I'm Brad Hornback. I do what I want. Okay, is that what Jesus wants? Right? Is that what Jesus wants? And I will say, my family will tell you, I still joke about it sometimes I say it, but it used to be a real thing. It really was a real thing. And I'm sure some of you out there could put your name in that place and say, maybe you didn't make that statement, but maybe you were living that life. Yeah, I think so, right? Look at verse 32 with me. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. We are free, right? But look at their response. Verse 33 says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? Well, here's the thing, first off. They have very short memories because there were these people called the Egyptians. I'm just saying, the Babylonians. And mind you, the Romans, right? And so they're not really paying attention here. But here's the deal. Jesus is not really speaking to even that kind of bondage. He's speaking to the bondage, basically, of sin. Check out verse 34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. He's talking about that slavery, that grip of sin, that grip that is so tight and solid that you can't bust it free on your own. Some of you out there know what I'm talking about. Some of you out there have had addiction. Some of you out there had things like I'll talk about maybe in a minute here, like with some of my anger when I was younger, right? Where it just grips you and it just holds on to you. And you're like, I can't get rid of this. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can be made free. This grip of sin, it's not a loving master. It's not something that cares about you. It'll make itself look pretty and cute to act like it does, but it doesn't. Sin is cruel, it's hateful. And you know what we're told in scripture? That it ends in death. James 1:15 says, then when desire, notice how it starts, desire, right? When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, notice this, brings forth death. Death. A lot of times it looks good, feels good. You don't think it's hurting anybody, right? Oh, it's okay. It's all good. Believe it offers you some freedom, right? But it doesn't. It doesn't. What about this one? I'm going to take this a little different turn here. Sometimes people will say, well, what I'm doing is not a sin. It's not a sin. Look it up. Look in the Bible. It's not a sin. But here's the thing we need to step back and look at. But is it wise what you're doing? Is that wise? Should you be doing it still? Because where's it going to lead you? Maybe that one thing isn't the sin, but where's it taking you? Does it distract you from your walk with Jesus? Or what about this? Does it distract others? That's in scripture. What you eat and drink and so forth, right? It can be distracting to others and them seeing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I don't want to be guilty of distracting anybody from that. Does it take away from the glorifying of our God? We need to be smart with this, right? Because something might not appear to be a sin, but is it wise? That one act. So for me, and I've shared this with some before, my only memories of my dad's dad, my grandfather, were them fighting. And my grandfather, I respect him. He was a World War II veteran, landed over day two at D-Day. Day three, I lied. Day three at D-Day. Went through a lot, but his answer was alcohol. And I remember him living in a motorhome in front of my house. And the only thing I would see is him and my dad fighting. And it was all revolving around my dad trying to get him to stop drinking because of what would happen, the anger, the violence, and the things that took place. So my theory, and it hasn't been my whole life, trust me, but my theory now is I'm not going to drink any alcohol. And I know we could get into the debate. Some people are like, well, you know, in Bible, Jesus drank wine. And so we're not going to even discuss that. My point is this. For me, it's not wise for me to drink alcohol. Where can it take me? What could I do? You know what? I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my friends. I don't need anything like that to be messing it up. I love my Lord and Savior. I don't need anything to be messing that up. It's not wise for me. I shouldn't be involved with alcohol. Check out verse 35. It says, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. A slave, think about that. A slave, right, will not abide in the house forever. A slave, basically, every aspect of their life is just in response to what their master allows for them or gives to them or does to them, right? They could be sold, moved, right, at any point. They could be beaten. They could be killed, separated from family, friends. It's horrible. Go back to the rich young ruler. Go back to him. Jesus just said, leave those things. Let's go. Come on. Look at all these other people following me. They're provided for. Let's go. And he couldn't do it. Why? Because he was a slave to those things. Those things controlled him. They wouldn't let him go. They pulled him back. And listen, Jesus had a better way for him. Jesus wanted to adopt him. Think about that. He wants to adopt us. Galatians 4:4-5 says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You can add daughters to that, girls, ladies. John 1:12, check this out. It says, but as many as received him, right? Received him, believed on him, into their hearts, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And then I got one last long one right here for you. Romans 8:12-17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We've been adopted, right? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. I don't get an amen on that. Thank you. Thank you. Right? Oh my gosh. Think about that. Think about in this case, it literally, like, what are you in bondage to, right? What is it that's pulling at you? What is it that just draws you away? Is it what it talks about literally right here? It talks about this, you know, bondage again to fear. Is it fear? Is it letting go? Like, man, God, I just don't even know. You know, I'm not even talking about fear of things out there in the world. I'm talking about fear of just letting go of it and saying, God, I'm yours. Fear of stepping in and saturating the entire part of your body, the entire from head to toe of your body. Listen, the truth makes us free. And Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only one. Here's the thing. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. In our world, they talk about being inclusive. The most inclusive thing is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for all, anyone, everyone. All we have to do is recognize that and live our lives truly for him, allowing him in every compartment of our house, every compartment. I read this quote this week from a theologian, R.V.G. Tasker. He says, so the slave of sin cannot by himself change his status. He cannot convert himself, nor can he be converted by any fellow sinner. The liberator from our bondage must come from outside the ranks of enslaved humanity. That's Jesus Christ, everyone. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the one. I'm going to ask you this. What do you tether yourself to? You know, you can look around and there's some people who have dogs out there, right? I have a dog. I walk my dog. And just so you know, don't get mad at me. People have dogs. I walk my dog on a leash. Okay. It's got this cool little military thing he wears. And I can put my, anyways, that's a whole another thing. He's on a leash though. But think about when we put our dogs on leashes, right? There's this limited range. My dog's still happy. His tail's wagging. He's all excited. He's like, let's go. He's smelling everything. But there's this limited range. He's right here. I don't want to tether myself to anything. I want to run free with Jesus, right? I want to get the fullness of life in Jesus. And all the other things we chase after and bring us into slavery and into bondage, they're fake. They're false. You're just going to want more of that. You're going to need more of that. And it's never, ever going to be enough. And all it's going to do is lead you to death. And listen, I'm not just talking about the big thing. You're like, some of you are like, well, I don't, you know, maybe I don't get into drugs or I don't. What is it? Is it what you're watching on TV? Is it music? Is it who you're hanging out with? What is it? I'm a surfer. Is it surfing? Is that number one over Jesus? What is it? I want to tie myself to Jesus. I want to run free and safe next to Jesus. Safety and security. The more we abide in him and his word, the more victories you will see in your life daily. The more overcoming of things you will see daily. The more positive friendships and relationships, not the ones that are acting like they're your friends and are just tearing you down, but the true friendships, the true relationships is what you will find. I don't want you to make sure I say this. I don't want you to get comfortable if you are in one of those settings where something's in the place of God. Because have you ever walked into a dark room and at first you can't really see, but then the longer you stay there, it becomes more clear and clear, and then you get comfortable, right? And then you're okay in the dark room. That's kind of what sin can do to you. If you dabble with it a little bit, it's going to draw you a little bit more in, right? And then you're going to get comfortable, and then you're going to be like, well, I can see now in this dark room. I'm okay. No, I want the bright light of Jesus Christ to shine in your life. And I want it to shine not just in your life. I want it to shine off you to others. That's where you're going to find the fullness of life in Jesus Christ, and you're going to be running free in his safety. So here's the thing. To know this freedom, know what it really is. It's a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. So what I would ask of you is to search, right? David said it, search your soul, right? Search your heart, search every aspect of your body. And Lord, what am I putting before you? Because whatever I'm putting before you, that's what I'm in bondage to. That's what I'm enslaved to. And again, listen, I know there's all varying degrees, and it seems weird to say levels or degrees or whatever, but you know what? Some people are just way more mature in the word than others. And I told you this message is speaking to me because I'm still working on it. But am I willing to work on it? Am I willing to run that race, as Paul says, right? To win the race. That's what I'm called to do. Called to run in a way to win the race and to reach true freedom in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, man, your word, you're just, oh, it's so amazing, Lord Jesus. It's in some ways, you know, your message, Lord, is just so simple. It's so just easy to understand. You talk about, you know, we have that faith of as a little child, Lord, and you were so open to just bring the children to you. Well, Lord, I want to be one of those little children, Lord. This simple message that you share with us, Lord, we all here, we are here for a reason, Lord. It's because we want to abide in your word, Lord. We want to abide with you, Lord. We want to run next to you. Lord, sometimes though, just in life, it's not that simple and it's not that easy, Lord. So Lord, I just ask that you give us that strong and courageous heart that you talked to Joshua about, Lord Jesus. You give us that fearless spirit, Lord, that we would just shine for you and we remove every aspect that would take us away from you, Lord. You would help us just to stay close to you, knowing your voice, Lord, knowing your love, Lord. And Lord, taking it and sharing it with this lost world, Lord, just taking it and sharing it with all those out there that are just, that have so much hate and destructiveness in their hearts, Lord Jesus. So Lord, we love you and thank you for being a part of this night. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.